actually want you to, now that I've let you sit down, I want you to stand up just briefly. And I want you to put your hands together for a great friend of mine, Pastor Kevin Towns. Why don't you welcome Kev up here. So, have a seat. As you've probably worked out, the theme for shift number two is shift your relationships. And there's no doubt at all that if you're going to be involved in life, you need to be involved in relationships, unless you want to be a hermit somewhere out in a shed all by yourself, and then it's still a bit hard to get to the supermarket and buy something without having some level of relationship with somebody. So life is absolutely about relationships, and I really wanted to ask Pastor Kevin to be with us tonight. I was just thinking this afternoon that that I've had a relationship with some degree with Kev for be over 15 years, I worked out this afternoon, probably maybe even 16 or 17, and that's, you know, taken different forms and things like that. But the thing I've appreciated about Kev is no matter what, our roles have often changed. He was my senior pastor. At one stage, he was a chairman of elders, and now I'm actually the senior pastor in the church that Kev's in. But Kev has always gone out of his way to make sure that we've remained friends and that we continue to have a good relationship. So we might start, Kev. Just as I've said, life is about relationships, and I think that something that often causes relationships not to go the way that they should, and as I watch on, sometimes relationships can get very complicated and all that sort of things. And I think sometimes the expectation that we put on a relationship can actually be something that actually inhibits it, and sometimes that's a bit unrealistic. How have you found that through life, Kev, as you've moved through various stages of relationship with people?
You mean expectations?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got to vary the expectation. Some people in your life, you do put a high expectation because you've given them everything. You've just worn your heart on your sleeve with them, and you've just treated them like your best confidant, and therefore you kind of have the same expectation back. Other relationships are very shallow by definition, so you don't have as much expectation on those relationships, and it's silly to. By the way, do my glasses think that's the sun? I got no idea. These are my sunglasses. No, they don't think that's the sun. I had no idea what they'd do when I got inside. Yeah, so sometimes there'll be very short answers, sometimes there'll be longer. So expectations, I have a fair expectation on Susan, my relationship.
Yeah.
Because I expect her to treat me as I treat her, which is totally vulnerable, totally confidential. You know, I can be totally myself with Sue, and therefore I expect her to be the same with me, and I'd feel it was one way if I was giving more than she was, but it's not that way. But I think maybe there will be a time tonight where I can talk about the different seasons of relationships and the different type of relationships, perhaps.
Yeah. Why don't we just start with, you know, peer-to-peer relationships where, you know, often the guys that you might be in youth with, other people in your church, people, you know, in the workplace, and I know that they're not all the same, but often that's an area where people do find it difficult to maintain good relationships. You're a person that definitely has got on with people over life. How have you found maintaining those peer-to-peer relationships?
Okay, and there's a couple of different directions I can go here, so I need your permission. Firstly, I find a lot of people don't go out of their way to woo friends to them. They don't cross the room to actually make a friend. And that's the first thing, I think. You know, if you want respect, then show respect. If you want friends, then be a friend. But I don't know how many times you hear in my lifetime people say people are not friendly in that church or people are not friendly at work, but I know darn well they haven't crossed the room. They haven't crossed the street. They haven't crossed the suburb, let alone the state boundaries or the nation. So in a setting like this, you literally have to cross from there to there and say, "Hi, I'm Kevin, how are you? First time in church or new, sorry I haven't met you, let me..." And so that's the first part. You've got to go out of your way. And then if it starts to warm up and then the friendship can be maintained over a long period of time. But the biggest key I can give to people in relationships which ultimately end up in marriage is outdo each other in giving to the other. So therefore, if we're talking about peer relationships, male to male, if you talk about one of my long-term friends, Ed Brooker, I could sit at home and say to Sue, well, when was the last time Ed and Tess invited us for dinner? I can't remember. I'm making this up, by the way, because he has. But I could say that if he hadn't. But the actual thing would be to say, gee, we haven't had Ed and Tess around for dinner for a while, so invite them. Yeah. Now, 6 months later, gee, we haven't had Pete and Penny around for dinner for a while, let's invite them. So let's say Pete and Penny, we invited 3 times in a row. Would it be right for me to say, well, when's the last time Peter and Penny have invited us out for dinner? I'm going to give up. No, because seven times, do you forgive? No, 7 times 70. So it's the same principle. 7 times 70, you actually go and cross the room. And then when you find you're doing that, you find relationships actually can be maintained over a long period of time because it's about what you're giving out, not what you're receiving. But in actual fact, when you look at your relationships over a lifetime, you'll find it's quite interesting when you observe them, why do they keep changing? And I find a lot of people burn relationships because the earlier question, they have a wrong expectation of the other couple or the other person. And so they walk away from that relationship and they go to a new one. And I've got some friends who have had multiple relationships. They've never had one close friend in their entire life, and they're my age, because they keep burning relationships because they have an expectation of what they were going to receive rather than what am I going to give into it.
Yeah, that's really good, Kev. So you, what you're saying there is that if you want good relationships, you've actually got to place a high value on that and not expect it just to come to you. And I can say that from personal experience with Kev, with Alex and I, certainly when we haven't seen one another for a while, Kev will often ring up and say, hey, you know, would you like to come out for dinner with us? Or just something like that to actually break the cycle. And I know with us, we're not thinking, oh, gee, you know, he hasn't invited us around for a while and vice versa. So that's a great thing. Before I want to get on in a moment, Kev, to relationships that endure, because you touched on it there a little bit, that people do often burn a lot of relationships, and probably often the difference between being able to live successfully and happily, you know, in one geographic area is certainly to be able to maintain good relationships in that place. So I want to get onto that a little bit, but just before we do, have you got some advice where we have got, you know, we've got a fairly young demographic here tonight, so just maintaining, you know, good relationships with the opposite sex. What are some of your tips for that?
So the question, if you missed it, was relationships with the opposite sex, and that's a massive subject. So I determined in my life to always pray for two things, and I was told Billy Graham or somebody profound like that said to pray for wisdom and pray for your future wife, because in my case. So from 12 years of age, there would never have been a day go by that I didn't pray for wisdom and pray for my future wife. When I became more aware of intimacy and my mates sleeping around and having sex with multiple partners, I then began to pray differently, because I then became praying out of awareness that my future wife wouldn't be sleeping around, as I wasn't sleeping around, because then you start to be aware. So, you know, it's not like a 12-year-old innocent. So your prayers start to change, because your mates on marijuana, most of my uni mates were either on marijuana or mushrooms or some sort of drug, and they were sleeping with their girlfriends, and they were my good close mates. So I started to pray differently, that I remain pure and that my future wife would be pure, even though I don't judge anybody that marries someone that's not a virgin, because God might tell you to do that as a male. And I've had lots of male friends that have married beautiful marriages, that have wives that have had other relationships, and that's fine. But in my case, that's what happened. And so you get what you pray for. And I've forgotten the question, but it was about intimacy. So the big question, the big thing that came to my mind as soon as Dave said that was respect. Guys, you've got to show respect to girls, you've got to go respect for guys from an early age as if they were your sister. which is very, very hard as a young guy when the chemistry starts to happen and you're starting to think of the opposite partner in a sexual way because of some movie you saw, some magazine or some rubbish that is being fed into your brain. And girls, it's the same thing. So you start to think of the other person in terms of chemistry. But the best thing you can do is pray to God for your future wife, your future partner, and then show respect. Now, that comes out because you might be in a situation where it happens all the time where the guys, and I'm talking to guys now, or the girls, you can say exactly the same thing, with their smutty talk, the smutty innuendo. And the thing I absolutely hated as a young youth pastor, a youth guy in youth, is smuttiness and speaking words falling out of guys' mouths or words falling out of girls' mouths that were double meaning. And it's got to stop because that is lack of respect. And it actually leads to a whole lot of other stuff. So if you start looking at a person in that way, I'm not talking about normal godly tendencies, and hopefully we are all wired in the correct sort of way that God has wired us, and that has that comes out in a beautiful marriage and relationship at the right time. But before that right time, you've just got to put on eyes and minds of respect. And I just get so disappointed in the workplace, whether a younger age group or in an older age group, and it's like it's a bit like racism. Racism jokes are just not on. That's another lack of respect. It's lack of understanding. People that do racism jokes haven't travelled. They just don't know. People that do sexism jokes are just idiots. They're just not. They just don't know. And so they need to be corrected by you or me and saying, hey, we don't do that.
That's really good, Kev. I had an interesting conversation with you recently, and you just talked about, just a whole variety of people that had been in, had different relationships across your life and perhaps the way that they came in and out of various seasons. And there's a whole lot of things we could talk about in that, I know. But what have you found has been the secret of having relationships that, that endure? Because it's one thing to say, oh, let's have a relationship, but sometimes all sorts of life's pressures do certainly put pressures on relationships, whether that's, in a church or a business, when seasons change, sometimes relationships just fall apart.
Yeah, and can I say that not everybody clicks, so don't feel bad if you don't get on with someone in this room or I don't get on with someone in this room. Not that we're enemies, but some relationships are more easy than others, so you don't think that you're going to have the same depth of relationship with everybody. But I was sitting down with a couple of guys over a period of a week, not at different times, and they were just asking questions about why they'd fallen out with this one and falling out with that one. And I just did a timeline for my life. So I'm 56. So I just realised that over here, there was a category, and it was my school years. And there were, when I was in those school years, up until, let's say, age, or even 11, 12, years 11 or 12, you thought those guys were going to stay with you forever. They're going to be lifetime mates. And then all of a sudden you're 20 and you've just had four amazing years at uni and you're with another bunch of people and you think, oh, okay, well, we're going to be together and be mates forever. Yeah. We're going to, and you prick your fingers with blood and you go like that and you say, yeah, mates for life, and do stupid things like that. And so, but what about these ones over here that we said we're going to be mates for life and they've gone all over and there might be one or two that you still connect with. Now you're in uni, then you get your first job. And they're going to be your mates for life. Newtown High School, phys ed teacher. And we're there, we're going to be mates for life. And what about my uni mates? And over time, we'd have reunions and there was only about one or two out of about 24 that did the same course. And we were like covenant relationship. And what about, then second, Newtown High, Penguin High School. Oh, mates for life. And, so when I got out a piece of paper to try and understand this, I put red, the ones that started there and were still there. And I found out they were like my big brother Jeff, family. Ed Tenbrooker, who was in high school and now in business, he was red. Pete Christian, I met in youth group, in Murray Street youth group, Brethren youth group. Pete Christian, he's red. I come over here a bit, Dave Morse. He started about 15 or more years ago. So, that one's still going. And I'm talking about real good mates. And So all of a sudden, the red ones that came right the way through, there were only sort of, apart from outside of family, there weren't many. So then I'd kind of go the blue ones, but then some fell away, and it was just quite interesting. So the question in maintaining those, and could I have had more red ones that followed through, I guess is underlying the question. Could I have brought more people on the journey, if you like, in my life? And that's a really interesting thing to reflect on, because I look back and I look at how I've changed, and I think in my 20s out of uni as a brand new teacher, I knew everything there was to know in life. I reckon I was more arrogant than I am today, and I'm probably still got some of these things, but I think I was more opinionated back then than I am today. I think I knew what made the world tick more than I do now. And so I think a lot of those things that just were with me, I think I burnt some relationships. I remember having a guy with an argument with a real good mate over whether you wear your tyres out, my E.H. Holden, the tyres on the car, whether you wear them out quicker on gravel or quicker on bitumen. And we nearly came to fisticuffs over it. You know, what a stupid thing to argue about, because that's just typical 20-something-year-old male who thinks he knows what burns rubber more, gravel or bitumen. that's what I thought. I was proven wrong. But anyway, so the stupid things that... But if I was just a little bit more wise and whatever, I think there'd be a few more red dots that would have carried through. If I had crossed the room more, if I had said, sorry, mate, I didn't mean to say that, you know, is it okay, and patch things up a bit more. I know you've asked a tough question, what's the key to relationships? And I suppose we're going to go down a whole lot of other things about softening, taking on the fruits of the Spirit, but I don't want to get too... if I had a bit more joy, a bit more love, a bit more patience, a bit more long-suffering, a bit more all of those fruits of the Spirit, I reckon I'd have a few more red dots. I suppose, I know it's not probably the answer
actually,
you want.
Actually, we just bounce off to that as we finish, Kev, and there's no doubt at all, I think all of us as we go through life, we find that those ones that do come through are a lot less than what you might think. So I want to encourage you to really value those good friendships, because sometimes when you are young, you've got a lot of people around, you think it's always going to be there. But really, work on those things now, because that, you know, in 20 years' time, those relationships are absolute gold. And, you know, so thanks for sharing that with us, Kev. Probably one of the things that has hurt me the most in watching people is that sometimes, you know, we as people, we have falling outs, we have, you know, things that go a little bit pear-shaped in a relationship, and often you'll find that somebody, because of that, ends up away from God. And sometimes when I've reflected on that, I think, well, gee, you could take me out of it. I wish it was nothing to do with me. But what actually hurts me more than anything is I see somebody that was working with God and some things have gone wrong in a relationship. And the next thing, that they're nowhere near God, you know, they're away, and a whole lot of other things are going on. Just, I know that's once again is a very large question, but just in reflecting, you know, with you and people that you've seen continue to stay the course, what do you think the answer is to making sure that we don't allow those relationships to actually knock our relationship with God out of skew?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure we can take that on. That's more, to me, it's probably not the answer you want, but it's more a reflection on them than it is on me. If someone is away from God, provided I have gone to that brother or sister and said, look, I'm sorry for the part I played in this breakdown. You know, and the Bible is so strong on before you bring your gift to the altar, it says, before you come and worship, a gift of finance, a gift of serving, a gift of any talent or spiritual gift you might have, and you bring it, and you remember somebody has offended you, or you've offended them, or they've offended you, you go and you put it right. And so we've got to do that. But it is amazing how many times I look back and you find out later that not everybody was what you thought they were, and they're away from God, and you find out all this stuff later, what they're up to in the youth group. or whatever, and you just have to not say, well, I'm responsible for them being away from God now, because provided you've been godly and spiritual in what I just said, I wouldn't take that on personally.
Yeah. No, that's actually a good answer. So we really, I know we could talk at length, Kev, and just thanks tonight for coming in and just giving us a few snippets. What I want to encourage you guys is that we've got a lot of people in this church that have walked the journey. We're really blessed. I've got mates who are pastors around the country, and some of them have got churches that are full of young adults, and they'd actually don't have many people that are in their 50s and 60s and even 40s actually in their church. And there's something that I love about our church is we are a generational church. And we've got, we've got people from kids' church, right through to, we've got a lovely lady that comes here every morning, and she's in her 90s and she just loves being part of the church. What I want to encourage us all to do is let's take advantage of people that have been on the journey a little bit longer than us. And let's try and draw some of this wisdom out, because Kev touched on something very interesting. At 18, we think we know a lot, and the more we go through life, the more we actually realise there is to know, the more that we realise that we don't have it all together. And so I just want to encourage us to just draw out of people like Kev and a whole lot of others that we've got here in this church that are actually able to walk with us and just give us a little bit of advice, rather than sometimes, making rash decisions. Let's go and find out the wisdom from those that have walked before us. So, anyway, thanks so much, Kev. I really, really appreciate that. The band want to join us now. And I guess as we look at shifting... Thanks. As we look at shifting relationships, and the most important relationship we can make sure is right, and we touched on it at the end there, is that relationship that we have with God. And to me, when that's out of kilter, did you know one of the ways that I actually gauge how I'm doing with God is if in a week I've found myself having, four or five sort of, little mini arguments with people or something like that, or things haven't been going as well, to me, that's often a gauge to me that maybe I'm not quite as close to God, or maybe there's something that's going on inside me that I need to be really honest about and go back to God with. So I want to encourage us that number one, first priority, if you want to have good relationships, is maintaining that relationship with God. And probably the hardest thing that we've got to do is accept that Jesus loves us no matter what. That He loves you despite your shortcomings. He loves you despite the people that you have burned in the process of growing up and the process of relationship. He loves you in spite of, relationships that might have gone bad in a sexual nature. All those things that we can think about and we can feel guilt about and we can actually push ourselves down about. The reality is that Jesus loves you just the same. There's nothing that you can do to make Him love you anymore. But what you can do is you can actually accept. You can start to accept that He loves you. And when we get to that place, when we get to accepting the love that God has for us, I believe we're in a position where we're able to start to give out to other people, where we're able to start to give something to other people. The hardest place to be is when we've got no value on ourselves and we don't think we're worth anything, and we start to act very insecurely, we have all sorts of responses. I just want to encourage us tonight as we close this service that Jesus loves you. He loved you so much that He was prepared to die for you. He just thinks you are absolutely worth it. He thinks you are just amazing. And as we close the service tonight, I just want the band to play, and I just want us to allow the love of God to just start to flood over you. And really, it's about you opening yourself up to God. And tonight, if there's anybody that knows that they've got to make a change, They maybe you've got relationships that haven't been working right. Maybe you don't feel close to God. Just while everyone's sitting here, I'm not going to prolong this at all, but just let's bow our head, close our eyes just for a second or two. And all I'm going to ask is, if you're not close to God tonight, and it might be that you've never felt like you've had a relationship with Him, or it might be that you just don't feel close at the moment, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you, why don't you just give me a wave and say, Dave, I don't feel close to God tonight, but I want to feel close to God. If that's you, just slip your hand up and I want to lead you in a prayer that's really about you opening yourself up and being prepared to accept the love of God. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Say, hey, Dave, that's me. Thanks. Is anybody else? Is anybody else that just wants to accept and wants to feel close to God? Some of us have not had great relationships with our parents. Some of us have had parents that haven't maybe treated us right and all sorts of things like that. And they've probably tried their best, but things have gone astray. The thing is, we've got a Father in heaven who is the perfect Father. He wants to give you security. He wants to be able to love you just like you are. He wants to accept you. He wants to esteem you. I'm going to pray, and let's just pray with me. Father God, I thank you that you love us. And right here tonight, I open my heart to you. And I accept your amazing love. I thank you that your love was so huge that you were prepared to die for me. This week, and for the rest of my life, help me to walk in the reality of your love. Help me to accept that you love me. Forgive me for being rebellious. Forgive me for my sin. I choose to come close to you tonight, Lord Jesus. Fill me, make me new. Amen. Okay, let's stand. And we will close the service in just a moment. And Dan is going to tell you just a couple of quick things as we do that. But as we finish, I really want us to worship and just allow the love of God to just...